What's up, everybody? ZZP Power Hour number 157. We got Tim Beek, the boss man himself, Zoom, Tyler V, as always,
OC.
And today we're talking about the in and outs of running a aftermarket performance company, which seems to be a dying breed as of late. And, you know, even more getting further down the line, we are a very niche company. I mean, you know, you look around in the ethos and you see your big names, you got your V8 shops, but shops like us who specify in one, like, not necessarily one platform, but one platform within a manufacturer is pretty small. You've got, like, Corksport does Mazda, and, you know, there's a...
Cobda Subaru.
Yeah, Cobda Subaru, but Subaru's a giant market. It's almost as big as V8s, I would say.
Yeah.
So it's definitely different around here, but maybe Phil Perez will buy Intense.
Oh, that's funny.
We're sending out free radiation for everybody. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Before we get into our topic any further, feature product for today, if you haven't seen the last few podcasts, we're doing one every week, and we got our BFIs, our balance flow inlets for the ATS-V, and we chose these today because Tim just had a ATS-V on the dyno making, what was it, 700 wheel
699
horsepower?
Wheel, 742 foot-pounds, and it's a customer car. Just E85.
E85, stock, like, turbos.
Stock turbo, bolt on, of these. Off the shelf. We what did it make yesterday on pump gas?
It made 630 something on gas.
So today we poured the ethanol to it, armed the auxiliary fueling kit. It's our first vehicle rocking the auxiliary fueling kit that's fed by the low pressure fuel pump, which I know is something a lot of guys have wanted.
Yep.
You know, versus the separate tank in the back. So we're super excited to seeing that come to life and working super well. And, you know, stock turbo power couldn't be possible of those numbers without these.
Oh, absolutely.
And we know that from experience.
For sure. It's we really need to A/B these on a car that's making power like this. Sure. Like, you know, I just hurt mine, you know, a couple weeks ago, so we're going through that. And then once that's up and running, we probably should just A/B the stock inlets to those. The only reason we didn't is we didn't have any stock ones in the building to A/B.
Yeah. Like, well, everything gets these now. And they're awesome cast pieces. The install, it's actually bolting it to the turbo is easy. Getting it there is a little more difficult, but every single ATS-V owner should have a set of these.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That like,
no more cutting, welding, porting, hacking up your stock stuff. These are perfectly balanced flow. I think we were seeing up to a 10% flow difference on the stock ones in factory form. So, you know, we spent a ton of time. Shout out to Tim Cooling, our head R&D guy. I mean, he was flow benching these things for months working on different ideas.
And oh, we had so many different
revisions. It was like a year project start to finish, I believe.
I think it's worth every penny at the end of the day now that we're seeing 700 wheel on stock turbos.
Oh, so. Matt saying we did A/B it on the red car.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. I do remember that now. Okay. Matt, chime in with the power gained, but... Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
But I don't think his car was with the dial wasn't turned to 10 when he A/B'd it.
Okay.
Because we were going to A/B it on mine because my dial was at 10, but we didn't have stock inlets on mine because mine were like off some crash car core engine that were all banged up, so I like ported them.
Right.
So they weren't like 100% stock.
Right. Yeah. And Matt just said 20 plus wheel horsepower. That's just
I'd say slow. Safe is more
and we were just talking about how insane it is, you know, two turbos, yeah, you've got some displacement, but you're breathing 350 horse worth of air through this
at the tires,
each of them.
I mean,
each of them. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And what is that man, what is that at the crank?
Yeah,
it's making 700 at the wheels, like I would imagine there's at least 15-16% drivetrain loss. That's crazy.
Is that a manual car or an
A? That's a manual car.
Okay.
Cool. If you're not following the chat, Matt picked up 20 plus wheel horsepower on these with a stock intake box.
Oh, that's right.
So not even with an aftermarket intake, you're still picking up 20 plus wheel, just bolting these on the vehicle. So heck yeah.
Yep. Luis, glad to hear that your aluminum coolant outlet fixed your leak. Those things are notorious. Everyone four owner should have that coolant outlet and the thermostat. But all right, let's get on to running a company, running this company, you know, ins and outs. It's a weird place to work because it's not anything that you would ever imagine.
No.
And, you know, coming from any other company, everyone listening, you can't imagine what it's like to work here, but it is awesome.
I would say ZZP is the total polar opposite of a corporate run business.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, just
absolutely. It's not quite as wild as it might have been back in the days.
Oh,
but
God. But it comes and goes, right? Honestly, like, I'm going to take shit for this. But so, you know, I'm the drama guy in many ways, and I thrive on it. And I love battles. And, you know, sometimes I create undue friction where it doesn't need to be. But when it comes to running a business, it's valuable. Like, who would have known that my skill, you know, I'm out of the bars now, the bar scene, but who would have known that these kind of skills would play out so well in a business?
Yeah.
And, you know, we got lawsuits going on all the time. I want to be careful about not saying more than I signed agreement to say I wouldn't say. But let's say that I'm happy with the way that that lawsuit came out, and it played out for almost 2 years. That was a long time.
I mean, just to fill you guys in, when Zoom's talking about lawsuits, like, it'll be something like, we engineered, I will not say the product name, but like, we engineered a product that we sold for like 20 years.
20 years.
We sold this product for 20 years, and we engineered it, and like, we engineered this product. And then somebody starts selling it 10 years later. I'm making up that, you know, I don't want to draw too many, you know, connect too many dots. But let's say somebody starts to sell that product 10 years later, and then they sue us for like patent infringement or something. Like, and we're just sitting there like, we've been selling this for 20 years.
I made that invention, you know, it was personal. But so that got, I really got under the skin of some people because... You know, I talk a lot of shit, and these attorneys aren't used to it. You know, so I'm like, oh, this is turning into a street fight, bro. This ain't gonna
Gloves
be.
Are off.
Yeah, this is no P's and Q's, Your Honor, sir. No, we're scrapping on the ground, and you better get used to that stuff, right? So, it played out well for us, and I'm smiles. But that was a way into the six figures lawsuit, way into six figures, right? So that scares a lot of people. It's not my favorite part of business, but I mean, I do love battles. And you know, so there's that.
It's just a different form.
And so, you know, when you get like Philip Perez, who's you know, got his attorney, and I shit you not, she's almost crying on the phone. Like, as a, you know, I don't appreciate you talking to me that way, sir. And I'm like, oh, now you're an attorney? Like, really? Perez, I'm calling you out. Seriously. Get an attorney, like...
Find a better one.
But get an attorney who can stand up to me. I don't even have a law degree. Come on already, right? I don't even have a high school diploma. And, you know, I'm mopping the floor with these people. Like, it's so bad. It's funny, but,
and
you know.
All he's got left is small PP jokes on Facebook. Like,
yeah.
Not even any factual,
you know,
anything
and
rebuttal from
it's
him.
It's really hard.
Point.
So I look at it like this, right? Like, maybe he likes the drama too, and maybe he likes fun too, and maybe he wants to pick a fight with someone who likes to fight. That's cool. It's fun. I guess. Seems like a big waste of time on his part. It's fun. But if you're not like that, and sometimes most of our customers, they're not. Most of our customers actually, like, they want to mod their cars.
Yeah.
They want to have good results. They want to get good service, this, that, whatever. Like, honestly, guys, a little bit of honey, it goes so far. Like, we're all car guys here. All my employees are empowered to handle your issues. There is not a thing. Like, if Tim needs to solve a problem, he doesn't need to come in my office and beg me to, like, do something. He can solve the problem. So can Tyler. So can Bo. Like, everyone here knows, we take care of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're also people. And this is not a corporate environment. So if you come in here swinging, you're going to get blasted in the face. And then when you're like, I'm going to tell your boss you talk to me that way. Oh, bad idea. Really bad idea, because you're going to get socked again.
It is funny because I can't count the number of times that Ryan Derrick, someone says, well, then let me talk to Zoom. And he's like, nah, you don't want to do that.
You have the nice guy on the phone right now.
Like Ryan is truly shielding you from a bad experience. He is. And I mean, I'm not just a dick to be a dick, but I'm saying, like, if you were just come at Ryan and say, hey, can you help me out?
Yeah.
Like that's this, you know, I'm probably the one who botched this up. I don't know, but I probably botched it. I've been having a really hard time with my car. It's my dream to get this thing going. Like, I keep on trying. I feel like I keep failing. Will you please help me? We are literally here for that.
All we ever want to do is help you guys build cool cars. That's, yeah. I mean, we love it. We love to meet you guys. We love to see the cars. So, yeah, you come in and just be nice. Just
like Zim said, like, we are just humans. We are just humans. We do get emotional. If you send us an email or call us up and say, you guys suck, your parts suck, I hate you, blah, blah, blah. You're probably going to get an emotional response back. Like, I don't do that when I have to deal with vendors. I'm a car guy. I've had to deal with a lot of vendors that are not ZZP.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Like, most of the time, they don't even respond back. Like, they just don't respond. So it's like, us being here and, like, responding is, like, it's a nice thing.
It's, you know, it's one of those things that I think a lot of customers take advantage is our level of customer service.
Yeah.
It is so hard to find someone that knows through and through what we do and how we do it to get them on the phone every day or an email response in a day. I mean, there's some vendors that I emailed months ago and still haven't responded. And that's how it is most of the places, you know, but it's a huge resource. And, you know, like Ryan all day emails, Tyler all day emails, phone, you know,
we're here to make your car work. We want it to work better than you'd want it to work.
And another thing, there is definitely nothing wrong with asking to speak to another person. It's completely fine.
Yeah.
So, like, feel free to ask for that. Like, you know, every once in a while, you're just going to rub somebody the wrong way. Like, so you're gonna hit a nerve somehow and not get great customer service. Yep. Like, just ask to talk to somebody else. And you can either, like, if you're upset with me, you can ask to talk to Tyler or Bo or Ryan or the other Tyler. Like, you know, it happens. You know, we all have bad days or just flat out read emails wrong. Like,
That's a huge thing I talk to customers about is, you know, there's no tone in this email.
Can't tell sarcasm.
It's harder to pick up on the tone, and we're here to communicate and get down to the bottom of it. We are car guys,
like it's been said, we are car guys, and we do want all of our customers' cars to be the fastest cars on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, we're fine with customers beating us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that ATS-V today, I mean, that car so far has made more power than mine. Like, and I'm not going to turn it down so it doesn't. Like, it is how it is.
We were equally as excited about that car making that power as if we were yours. Probably more excited that it was a customer car, you know. And, you know, there was guys just on Facebook last night saying, oh, all your cars are one of one. And it's like, well, to an extent, thanks for the compliment. But, they're absolutely not. If all of our cars are easily replicated.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to come here and build a car with us, we're happy to help you do that.
I mean, we're happy to make your car one of one. Exactly. You know, like, sure. You know, if you want to do something a little unique, you can come. You can come to us and be like, "All right, I want to do something a little unique. How do I make this unique?" And we'll work with you through it. I mean, we've got dreams too. You know, we love doing this stuff.
That argument specifically is funny because that the goalpost always moves. You know, no matter what in the online arguments, the goalpost is always moving. We don't build fast customer cars, but oh wait, the fastest LTG outside of ours is our customer Alan Mayo. So, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, but other than him,
and other than Robert Thomas on Facebook, who we built his car and he's been racing for many years and is one of the fastest. Well, that one doesn't count anymore because.
Or how about his daughter's car?
Oh yeah, no, that one doesn't count.
Really?
Because now he tunes them. So
okay.
Yeah, but we built that one too. just saying. And man,
shout out to Robert, we love you, brother. See you at Streetcar Takeover.
Great customer. But that's what we want that great customer that brings us multiple cars and buys parts, and nothing makes me more happy to see people move from platform to platform. Like we have so many dudes who started in 3800s and then got an Ecotec and then now have an ATS or a V or whatever, and we love that we're able to provide you parts.
It is funny how many V guys had a Grand Prix back in the day, and so they're coming here for parts because we built that relationship 15 years ago, and they know where to go and who's got their back with their new car. And
they're on the journey with us.
It's awesome, yeah. But...
Yeah, so to back up, you know, I got my new Tesla in. I'm pretty excited about that. My new Tesla is an old Tesla, right? And I want to make like a hybrid Tesla because, you know, what is life without modding cars? I can't take a stock one, so I got a mod. So I reached out to a couple of companies that would have the information, you know, and I got to do all this work. No, I don't want to do all this work. I want to reach out to you. You've already taken them apart and you got all this stuff on your website. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, wait. Week later, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing at all. Right?
I guess I'm doing it myself.
That sucks. We don't want to be that. If you didn't get a reply, we didn't get the email. We want to be engaged. We love what we do. We're not just here to see if we can not answer emails like that company did. Like, because they don't care, right? They don't care. And that's typical, you know, how it is. Everyone just sort of job swaps and... you know, maybe the person on the other end, you know, just
Bill Kish, you'd look great in a V, brother.
Bill Kish, yeah, I can see that.
Ooh, Bill Kish. Ooh, yeah.
I'm in. Get one.
Get a red one, two-door, four-door.
Match
the GTP.
That'd be cool.
Yes.
Have we had anyone bring us, like, two platforms at the same time?
Yeah. The guy with the Grand Prix, the Cobalt.
Michael Dodoki. He has three platform cars, and he's buying an ATS-V. Yeah. So he.
We should do something special if he can get
all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
He is.
That would be amazing.
His builds are always a work in progress for us, and you know, the cars are getting old, so we're, you know, like. I'm fixing blinkers for him at this point and like chasing down other stuff. But he normally just brings one.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
He brings.
Cat's out of the bag.
Oh. Brian. Brian's in the chat.
Brian. Well, I guess Brian knows what he made today.
You spoiled my video.
Oh, that's Brian.
We did get a video.
That wasn't your car, Brian. That was somebody else's.
That was
ATSV.
Another Brian.
Okay.
With an ATSV.
We do a lot of cars, man. I mean, there's like four Brian ATSVs.
To be fair, I requested Tim emailed you before the podcast. I don't think he did because he was running around so excited about how well the car's working, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Totoki, he normally brings one, drops it off, picks it up. He's always got one here. It's just a never-ending revolution.
What, Ion, and...
LNF.
Oh, that's right. He's
and
got
he,
an LNF.
And he is ready to buy a V. He's just been...
Whew.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
But anyway, like we got to get back to the subject, like what builds a company. Give us some bullets of what builds ZZP.
Well, one thing I wanted to bring up is like how different things are now compared to how they used to be. And when we, and not just in ZZP, I'm talking about customers actually. I'm calling out the customers right now a little bit. Yeah. Because when we were doing, when I started and when I was building the company, we were doing 3800 stuff. Oh, you know, I've never been a one-man show. We talk about that being tossed around. Yeah. I have never been the one-man show, and maybe that's why we don't, everyone expects so much, you know? All the other one-man shows, those jobs don't have to ship for like 3 weeks, and it's cool. But no, so, you know, we're back in the day, and the customers were like, well, this broke and this didn't work, but I think it'd be cool if you made that and this. Yeah. It was such an interactive experience customers.
Yeah,
so much feedback. And they'd show us the car, they'd show us their dynos, they'd show us their scans and all of these things. And we were able to sort of, it was almost like having extra employees, like having a whole bunch of part-time employees in the way that they would work with you.
And that's props to the 3800 community. I mean, guys are...
Those dudes were absolutely fantastic. They taught me a lot about business and helped me build this business to what it is because they were so involved. I remember like Steve Mays, Bill Hooper, a lot of people. Brent Dyer.
Henry Lussier. Who's the guy with the pace car?
Fred Kakanek. All kinds of people that were very communicative and interactive. And I miss that because now moving forward, customers, they expect, and they should, I'm not saying they shouldn't, because we are a company that's been in business 25 years and we got, you know, over 3,000 SKUs and a big building. So yes, everything we do should be perfect and you should be able to get like a repetitive experience. But we do move faster with interaction. We can develop faster with friendly cooperation than we can with adversarial defense or people lying about certain things. And then we got to try and figure out what's going on.
Or just, you know, on that feedback point, a lot of customers now, they seem to, if anything goes wrong, oh, it's junk immediately. Yeah. And they don't even expand on that. And you're like, okay, well, what was it? No, I want to return it. Well, that doesn't help us at all because we need to know. Yeah. And you know,
of bugs to be worked out when we've turned a lot of bolts on the car. You've turned a lot of bolts on the car, and we've modified the way the fuel's delivered. We've modified the way the air's delivered. We've modified the suspension, the brakes, the whole deal. There's a lot of bugs to be worked out and shaken down. The car might turn key on Friday, but it might be 6 weeks, 3 months before it's perfect.
Yeah, and too, you know, we have a huge fleet of cars. We have, what, over 50 now?
Yeah,
we have. In our back lot of ZZP-owned cars, but we don't have every model. We don't have,
how many are one of one?
Yeah.
How many cars do you need to get to the two of one?
I don't know if we have any that are one or one. That's hilarious.
What's crazy is,
you know, I mean,
Bo, how many platform cars do you have right now? GXP,
three.
Regal, three, HHR.
Two or three. I mean, I have LNF and then W-Body 3800 and an LS4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But three.
So three. How many platform cars do you have?
three right now. Four.
I think I have three as well. Sonic, ATS-V.
LTG.
LTG. Zoom's got Tesla, which is a light platform car that we sell parts for, but... Mm-hmm. You know, it's Andy's got his GTP technically still.
That's gonna get some mods.
I mean, Zoom owns ZZP, get some personal touches.
Yeah, I miss that car.
Zoom owns ZZP, so technically he owns like every platform, like all the factory.
That's true.
But a lot of people don't know, like every product we have is either in development or might be development. We don't stop when a product is like being sold.
Yeah.
Product we have is constantly being looked at to be made better, evolved. Right. And so we have certain things. What really comes to mind is like the 3800 intercooler.
Oh, yeah.
We have made more than a dozen revisions.
Yeah.
It could be more than 20. On the 3800 intercooler.
And just this week, we're tinkering on more ideas.
We have a new one coming out. Yes. But that's a very specialized intercooler. There'll be very few customers who buy it, but we like to do custom stuff like that. Yeah. So we're going to come out with an intercooler. It's taller than a normal one. It doesn't fit under the hood, but someone's going to want it, right? And we're like, eh, why not?
Settle down.
It's going to go on my car. You know, yep. I'll figure out how to get that thing on there.
I agree.
You know, maybe cut a hole through the hood.
One inch cradle spacers.
Yeah. No, cradle just hanging out of that thing.
I'll figure out the car's on blocks. No, it's lowering springs still. But no, so that's what we're talking about. Like, if you have a problem with a part, it's not forever. We didn't order this part from, like, people, oh, it's everything's Alibaba. Well, they must have a fantastic production team.
Yeah, their R&D team is huge.
Yeah, it's amazing. And they're so fast, right? No, so if you have an issue, like, and you bring it to our attention and it's an issue, like, we're immediately going to work on redoing that product. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we go right back to that customer. Sometimes if it's a big issue, we go back to everybody.
Yeah.
But if it's a small issue, we will definitely go back to that customer that brought it to our attention. Hey, time to swap out. No charge. Here you go. Freebie. Maybe we even did something special for you. You know, like, yeah, we just did that on a, I'm not going to say what it was, but it was a 3800 customer. They were very unhappy, and we did a custom thing for them. No charge to, you know, get them squared.
Make it right.
And he's like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. Yeah. You know, but you presented a legitimate issue, and it's one that we took seriously. We implemented some major changes in the product.
And the process.
And we do that with everything. So, you know, be kind. Help us. Let's get better parts into the community, because honestly, I know people hate to hear this, but there aren't other people doing this.
No.
You got nobody else. Why would don't bite the hand that happens to be feeding? And I'm not saying that to brag, but, you know, like, because I'm in this too, right? We build parts for you that no one else has built. Like, Edelbrock won't do this for you. K&N won't do this for you. They won't answer your phone. They won't answer your emails. They don't care about your results.
AEM makes a product and then goes, good luck.
Yeah, that's it. But we're in the thick of it, you know, designing it, redesigning. In fact, we have fun redesigning too much.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we should probably be spending more time making new products. But no, it's just really fun to see the evolvement and the steps.
And kind of going off that, I think one of the big ways that we succeed here is we're all in the same building. You know, everyone who works here is within earshot of everyone else. So Ryan and Tyler are directly in front of me. And if they're on the phone with a customer, you know, I can hear them and I'll be like, oh, well, that seems serious. Okay. And then they'll turn around, tell me, I can immediately pull it from the website or change something. You know, we don't have guys in another building stuff for us. You know, Fab is right here, so we can walk back to them. And
our R&D benches are side by side.
Yeah.
Our Fab benches.
Yeah. So, and our mechanics are 20 feet away. So if they have issues installing something and they're the best of the best, then you know somebody's going to have an issue installing it at home.
The bench that they're built on is, you know, 30 feet away from the bench that they're installed on.
Yeah.
Even our shipping manager is in customer service.
Yeah.
Because when there's an issue, he wants to know if it's something he can address or if it relates to his department. Every aspect of the product, from raw material coming in, and I mean raw, bars of aluminum and tubes and things like that, going in from the development meetings to the CNCs and the benders and the welders and customer service and the office guy, our tax guy, like, everyone is together and we're eating together and working together and knowing all each other's business. So that plays out well. That goes into building a business, right?
It does.
And we have deviated from that at times, trying to grow and expand. And, oh, we're going to put marketing upstairs and we're going to have this going on across the street because we still have our building across the street. And it goes poorly. You end up almost with separate businesses. The communication isn't there and balls get dropped and customers end up not getting taken care of the way they should. Mm-hmm. And so now, as we're in our renovation process, right, we're actually doing more consolidation. We're expanding the office so we don't have to fragment out and everyone in the office is together in the office.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just thinking customer service standpoint too. We often get like, oh, you need to hire more customer service. Well, say we did, and say we adopted like a call center. That person doesn't know what we do. They don't have the cars. They don't work on them. It's
not a simple task to just hire another person to do a job. I don't care what the job is in ZZP. Like, you can't just hire another customer service rep. Like, I know what you want for a customer service rep, but like, those people are hard to find.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know? Well, if you call us, both guys answering the phone know every single platform, every single part. Yeah. If they don't, I'm sitting there, Tyler's sitting there, you're sitting there, everybody else is sitting there, ready to support that. So
they put you on hold, and then they talk to whoever the expert is that's available at the time about whatever the issue is.
Yes, we do dyno tunes, Nicholas.
Almost every day.
Yeah. But I really think the key is the people here. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't be where we are today without the people that started it, that brought it up. I mean, Tim, Matt, you guys putting in that work. And then, you know, I've been here 6 years now. And you see people come and go, and you can tell Kyla's got a great eye for people she knows will be here for the long haul. And it's those people that make ZZP what it is.
There's a lot of passion flowing around here.
Yeah.
And it's usually a lot of good or bad, but it's because we're all wanting to just make things better.
We've been talking on lunch today. Sorry, I'm off mic. I'll try to yell, but me and Bo were talking on lunch today about how dialed our crew feels right now. We may be slightly understaffed.
Yeah.
But I'd rather that than have non-passionate employees floating around.
We are understaffed, but we're working very well together, which makes us highly productive.
Oh, yeah.
We have very little side bullshit going on.
Yeah.
You know, I could tell you like what Han Racing did wrong. I could tell you what Intense Racing did wrong. I could tell you what a lot of these companies did wrong. And being good at business is like this giant collection of doing a lot of things right. And it seems like everything matters. You don't have to get everything right. You can be wrong a lot, and we are. But you have to be right more than you're wrong.
Yeah.
And you have to address every aspect of the business. So if you have stuff that's not shipping on time, this is going to be a problem. If you have parts that don't work really well, this is going to be a problem. If you have parts that you can't make margin on because you need profit to run a business, you better have other parts that you can make margin on. Slow Boy Racing built a $7 million company inside of like a year or something. It was crazy growth. Wow. And they went out of business just as fast because despite having that kind of revenue, they were only making 10%, you know?
Yeah.
And so the way that, you know, I have structured the business, and it feels crazy to say this, but no matter how many times I give out secret sauce, no other competitors can ever copy it. It's weird. I used to hold these secrets close to me, and now I'm like, well, nobody's going to get it anyway. So whatever, right? Seriously, like I could just hand you my playbook and be like, you know, we're going to run around, you know, that even if we do this, and then we just go do it. It's like watching Michael Jordan play or something, you know? But companies, like, you can't be obsessed about making money on everything you do. You have to be obsessed about taking care of the customer and then finding ways to make money in the things that you do. Yeah. Because if you go out there with your collection and say, no, everything we do needs to have a 35% markup, well, you're going to price yourself out of the market in so many ways, and you're going to find yourself not taking care of customers when you should. Right?
Yeah.
So that those things need to be separate. Like taking care of a customer, you cannot be thinking like, well, I should, but it costs a lot, so I'm not gonna. You got to get that out of your head because business is about the long-term thinking, you know?
Yeah. And not every product ZZP sells has profit in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just like,
there are products that
taking care
no
of our
profit.
LTG guys and just discounting LTG parts, intercooler package, you know, making it more affordable, getting it in the customer's hands.
You got to make your name the name to go to. And every once in a while that requires just, you know, slashing the price on something. Like,
I think the biggest thing we're good at is bouncing from failure to failure without losing any enthusiasm. We are always committed to the end result. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what project we're working on. If we're a year and a half in or a month in, we have the same enthusiasm and we're just working towards that end goal every single week. And it's really what, and it at the end of the day separates us from the other competitors, is because we're able to work through those failures or the wins and ride out the wins. But
The wins are good, but they're even better when there's a failure before. I think.
When we get when we make that breakthrough, we're like, gosh. You know, it's, there's a lot of projects in hand right now that we're waiting for that breakthrough.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like the harder it is, the sweeter the victory when you can accomplish it. You know? I watch a lot of other businesses that think that running a business is about making money selling car parts. That ain't it, man. That's intense. You know, I'm not trying to talk shit, but that's what I see in that business. I see that in several. Like, hey, we got these parts and we're going to make money because we're going to sell people parts and they want the parts. And that's like they think that's the whole business.
Yeah.
But it's not. And so, you know, I reached out to John today and I asked him to, you know, I left him a voicemail. I don't know how customers get a hold of him, but I was having some trouble getting a hold of him. And I said, hey, I want to take over Intents. And, you know, the way I look at that is, you know, we already sell all the parts. I don't need Intents. I don't need their product. I don't need the brand. But what I want to do is I need the community. Mm-hmm. And so I want to take over all of the warranties that are out there for the Intents customers so that they don't have a bad experience in car modding. Yeah, you weren't our customer and you bought from this other company and now maybe your part needs to be addressed and that company's going to be gone, right?
And instead of you being gone.
Yeah, instead of you being gone, I have no problem. We're set up to do it.
Yeah.
And I'll take care of your issue and your failure and we'll make it right, right? Because when you bought it, you had a warranty. I can take that over. We can absorb that. And it'll pay back on the back end because there's going to be customers.
We're going
to
build that relationship.
Who are going to value that relationship and it's going to move forward.
And there's continue been, modding that
yeah, car. There's been friction in the past. I want to move past that. I want to have fun with things, you know? Like rivalries are fun, but not when your car's broken and you want to leave the sport.
Yeah.
I don't want that kind of rivalry. I want rivalry. Yeah, I want rivalry like sports teams where everyone's there to play and you're like, they suck, they suck. You know, just stop their face, right? But you're still on the field, you still shake hands when it's done, blah, blah, blah. That's what I want. But if you're just, you know, feel cheated and screwed and bad experience after bad experience and you just leave, that really makes me sad because I love this sport and I love what's going on and I love the challenges and I love the failures because it means we get to engineer the solutions. Mm-hmm. So I want to bring those people in with Intents. I did it with W-Body Store. It was different circumstances and I didn't tell anyone. So we had several years where we owned W-Body Store and you know, nobody knew. But when you bought from W-Body Store, you were actually buying from us. And I don't want to talk about other companies because I don't even know if they're still around and I'm kind of outside the sales channels.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you the truth. But I can confidently say, like, it didn't matter who you bought from for a lot of years, like 10 or more, you were actually buying from us.
Uh-huh.
Like every vendor we were supplying. Why? Because we made their life easy. We will warranty it. I'll offer you better margins. We'll take care of the customer. Like the totally painless experience. And in one case, sometimes these guys get really spoiled. So South Florida Pulley Headquarters, they were selling our axles, right? And he advertised them differently. He had different specs, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, you were buying from us. And he's like, can you just ship to the customers direct? Yes, I can. Tell me how to package it, right? But some of these customers would be looking at, you know, tracking numbers and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then he says to his customers, because he got so comfortable in arrangement. He's like, yeah, just ship your cores back to ZZP.
Wow.
Dude, really? Like, I know you're excited because you made margin on this set of axles, because honestly, we weren't making like almost anything, right? So maybe I'm just going to make up numbers, but maybe the axles were $300 and maybe cost on him was $200, and you know, he'd get 85, we'd get 15, right? And I don't care, because it's all coming through me, right? And I'd rather have 15 than have zero, and I know where this goes in the long run, and it went exactly where I knew it was going to go. This is the business 101. So
playing that long game.
I'm playing the long game. So when he did that, he's happy because he made all the margin on that product, because his cost previously, he was making less than $85, let's say, right?
Yeah.
So I'm giving him more money than he was making before and a much easier experience, and he doesn't have to handle axles, this, that, whatever. But what he wasn't thinking is play the long game in business, because that customer isn't going to be your customer anymore. I didn't yeah. steal that customer. You got rid of that customer. You pushed that customer to us. Mm-hmm. And speaking of long game, let's go, Brandon. Someone is not playing the long game. I think, you know, and I like Josh. We do business with Josh. We do business with OTT. I think we will continue to, I hope, you know, I think we're good with him. But you know, these kind of talks are like that. Like when I see a company that's not doing maybe as well as they could, and I don't know all the ins and outs of OTT. I know they have some good products. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. He's a good machinist.
Yeah.
But I do see at times him not playing the long game, you know? And so that's like, we'll call that one little chapter in the book. It's like, play the long game, guys. Like, don't think about the short term. Think about where something goes in the long term, mm-hmm. especially as it relates to the customers. These customers, how long have some of our customers had their cars?
23 years at this point, maybe it longer.
Shocks me.
Oh, it's insane.
To get these guys and they're like, hey, Zoomer, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you're still alive? Like, you still have it. And they're like, yeah, I took my car on this. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's what we were just talking last week. I'm like, we need to get some of these old boys out. We need to give them a reason to get these old cars out of the garage. They still have them.
Yeah.
They still have them. They've gone into hiding, you know, because it's just kind of.
Let me drive it on the weekend here and there. And...
Oh, we have a guy set a new record, right? This is the old record was like a crossover pipe that was like 8 years old, 7.5 years old. The guy wanted us to warranty it, right? that was the previous record.
Yeah.
But now we got a new record because we surpassed 15 years. Guy came back wanting a warranty on rockers he bought from us more than 15 years ago.
Oh my God.
Now, we don't have customer records.
Yeah, that far
of this,
back.
That
yeah.
far back. We don't sell the product anymore. He was really upset. And honestly, for what he needed, if we had what he needed, we probably would have taken care of him. You know, just for setting that record of like, man, you're still there, still in it.
We should have been like, here's a new set of 165. Like,
It was pretty wild. It was a rocker set that we retrofitted from another application, had a whole bunch of custom pieces to make it work.
Oh, okay.
And then he's like, I need a warranty. And we're like, we haven't made that.
Well, and it was like a 3800 application, and I've never even seen or heard of this product.
Like, they were rockers that were individuals that the 3800 has them offset. Yeah. And then we machined a hole in this rocker here and a hole here and had a pin that connected them.
Oh, like, I remember all that. I remember
highly custom rocker set.
Yeah. Wow.
And he was like, I need a warranty. And I'm like, man, we would love to warranty this, but we cannot do it. Like, we haven't sold this in 10+ years.
I don't even know if Comp still sells the rockers we bought to do that with.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was interesting because Comp loved us. I mean, they were so originally, business-wise, Comp didn't want nothing to do with ZZP. I think they gave me 2% off. So I'm selling product at cost or below. Woo. Way back in the day, right? They wanted nothing to do with me. They wanted exclusives with who is the big store back then?
JC Whitney?
PartsForYourCar.com for the 3800, right?
DFC, yeah.
And then Shemansky came in at 3800 Performance, these people, and I was nobody, right? It's Comp didn't want any, but slowly but surely, ZZP became Comp's by far biggest 3800 vendor. And then we started getting to be a big vendor in their entire system, right? We were six figures a year into you know, purchases from them. And so they started giving us really steep discounts, and you know, the engineering teams worked a little bit closer, and they were all happy about me wanting to use their Chevy big block rockers, because everyone was always calling comp, because it was intense doing their thing, and there's, you know, rocker fiascos, and people would call comp rockers. And then I told comp I had a way of using their product to bring rockers to 3,800 market, and they didn't have to do a new casting or anything, and they were like, yes, right? And that was the big block. That was the big block rocker with the offset shaft that was pressed in there, roller tip.
So much fab work into making those things work.
Well, I mean, the modified 1.9s for a while weren't that easy either.
No.
Initially. But the first products were such hacks. Everything was such a hack.
Man, let's just talk. So our modified 1.9s, we took stock rockers. We TIG welded pushrod cups in.
You can't TIG weld till you clean them, because they're all oily and nasty.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
They were used stock rockers.
Have you done a rocker before, Mike?
We were going to junkyards looking for rockers.
I just imagine Steve Hickman picking through the 3800s at the yard.
See,
and like,
you take them apart. You're like, you're cleaning them. You're welding them. You're machining a new pushrod cup receiver hole, you know, and then you're selling them. Like, and then like the first product that like I was hired to do was freaking ported exhaust manifold.
Ooh.
We were buying
cast iron
stock
manifolds.
So terrible. That might be the worst thing we've ever. I mean, the product wasn't bad, but the worst.
So work. Zoom's like, yeah. I have a job for you. I can't guarantee it's full time, but I got a job for you. I got this 110 air compressor in my garage
that's running constantly,
and a Dremel, a freaking air grinder, like a hand grinder.
Back to my comment of the commitment that makes us successful.
We went MIG weld.
It was hot in that garage too.
It was terrible.
You were working for $10 an hour.
Yes, I was.
Yeah,
$10
big money, man. Welders make that big
good wage back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
We would weld on the outside of the manifold so I could port on the inside of the manifold.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was rough.
And it was just kind of gives testament to where we started and where we are now. I mean, back in those days, you know, modifying rockers, that's what we could do based on, you know, sales numbers and profit and all that.
And the tech we had developed.
Yeah. And then it moves into, we have the capital where we can just cast whatever we want, you know, just like these. I mean, this 10, 15 years ago, we would have been grinding stock inlets and porting them. And now it's like, we can afford to have a whole mold cast. We can make it exactly how we want. We've got CAD, you know, all that. And it's awesome.
Well, originally, when we came out with our current rockers, what we did was we built, I think Matt did it, he can chime in, we built a fabbed custom rocker with a 3,800.
It was a retrofitted LS rocker, right?
No, it was half 3,800, half LS.
Okay.
Because the LS rockers are too small, but yet we wanted the light weight of the LS rocker, but the length of it is wrong. That's why we were using Chevy big block rockers earlier, because you need a big rocker. The small block rockers are too small. So we did this hybrid, I think, with a 3,800 rear and a LS front. And then we had that turned into a casting mold.
Yeah.
And then we started changing ratios. But to this day, I think we might still be selling what we invented back then, because it's just freaking sweet. That style rocker it never breaks.
It's light.
Super lightweight.
Yeah.
I mean, you save over a pound of valve train.
That's
switching out
pretty
those
crazy.
Rockers.
That is huge.
I didn't know that.
In the 3800,
we got another
pound
of valve train coming out of the 3800 too, with some upcoming products.
Ooh.
The 3800, the challenge is always valve flow. It's always valve flow. So anything you can do to remove weight, like our modified rocker used to be an LS retainer. Sorry. So our retainer was an LS retainer that we like custom retrofitted to the 3800 until we redesigned it to lighten it even more. And now it's like a super lightweight retainer. Mm-hmm. Like, I think our retainer right now is lighter than the old school comp titanium LS retainer. Like, it, you know, it's...
And it's stronger and more durable for a daily application.
Yeah, the 3800 head does not provide a lot of room to run the valve spring that you need to run in it. So
yeah,
we have to constantly be removing weight from valve train. Lighter retainers, you know, lighter rockers, like lighter valves mm-hmm. are even highly beneficial.
Yeah.
I love testing parts for ZZ Performance. And that's the other thing that I think benefits our success greatly is the amount of testing we do. We have so many fleet cars and so many products in action
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis. You know, we are every week installing new parts. You know,
quarter of the install bay time.
I would say prototype. You know, parts. Lately this year in 2024, it's been like 50%.
Yeah,
we've got full R&D
stuff in
just
the works.
out in the wild, putting in miles. You know, shaking down parts, learning things. It's my favorite thing to do.
Getting someone new's butt in the seat to feel the difference, or
yeah, I mean, Krista in shipping. She's been driving one of our Sonics. She goes, I love this thing. This is a blast to drive. I'm like, Krista, perfect. We just put a brand new turbo on it. Go keep driving it for me, please.
I don't know how we don't run out of ideas.
You know how we don't.
Decades later, we're still inventing new parts.
You know how we don't. Yeah. The reason we don't is that Bo, Tyler, me, amongst many other employees at ZZP, still have three platform cars each.
Well, like, yeah, that, and it's part of your kind of induction ceremony into ZZP. You come in and you're like, oh, this is my favorite car. This is my brand. And we're like, give us a year and you'll be in a platform car. And most people are. Yeah, I mean, like, Welder, Reed has a Sonic.
How many Sonics are in the parking lot right now?
Yeah. Curtis has a Sonic.
Close to 20.
He was a Subaru dude. Yeah. And I had a Sonic, and I was like, hey, bud, here you go.
But we're also,
we're
building parts that we want more than building parts for parts. And I think a lot of other vendors will come to the market and be like, okay, what can we sell?
Yeah.
What is this market doing,
you know,
that
and
we can make?
And so the timing thing, that was me.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
On the green.
100%.
Because I've got the car and I want that on my car. Right. So I'm like, I need this made for my Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. And when we changed our entire catback in a major way on the ATS Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
And I think largely you didn't like.
Oh, I hated it.
Yeah.
I didn't like
the exhaust we had on the car.
We had our original 2-liter exhaust, big muffler.
Suitcase style.
Yeah, suitcase is what we called it. And I got into the Camaro and I was driving it every day, and I didn't like the way it sounded. And so it was during the day, I go to Tim C and I'm like, hey, I see there's a muffler delete up there. Can I try that out? And I put it on the car. It sounds horrible. And I'm like, all right, I need somewhere in between these two. This is hot garbage, and like, it's fine, but I don't like the way it sounds. So I'm putting different resonators on, and we were doing videos back then. It was our old ZZP TV series. But yeah, you know, I am the customer. We are the customer. And no one gets more seat time in all these different cars than we do. Yeah. So I think it was when I started going into the R&D meetings, and it was when Alex came into ZZP, and he's been phenomenal. Yeah, I'm like, hey, Alex, can we let's mix this up? Customers don't like it. We don't like it. And now we offer the new V2 exhaust. If you had the previous one, you can buy the new one, just the muffler section. Yeah. You know, we want these things to come to you guys, but
yeah, it's like, Bo, you live 46 minutes away. Why do you drive there every day? Well, because I get to take home a car that has a lot of cool parts in it mm-hmm. that I'm just shaking down and working out. And I couldn't be happier cruising down the highway knowing that we got some stuff that's working.
Yeah.
There's something weird about like working here and driving the car, like my LTG Regal. I drive the car and I'm like, oh, like I really want this, but nobody makes this.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey guys, you know, every Tuesday we have our R&D meeting, and it's like, hey guys, like I really want this, and this isn't available for the car. Like, you have to work at a place that has these platform cars. like employees that are driving the platform cars to have the requests. Like Zoom has said it before, like Zoom can say, hey, you guys make this part, yeah. but that part's not really going to get made until it's like, hey, I want that part. What do I have to do to make that part and have it on my car?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, it's just know, like Zoom with the Tesla, you know, man. Yeah. Out. He like, drives it every day. There's I don't a delay. Like this. Let's fix it.
There's a delay, but like Zoom has his Tesla and he's a picky vehicle owner, a very picky vehicle owner. And like we will like old platforms take priority over new platforms, but eventually we're going to have some really cool Tesla stuff. We had carbon ceramic brakes for Teslas.
Yeah.
Like cool. You know, it's just there's a lot
but
of stuff.
I wanted them. On my Tesla.
Well, that, well, he had them. Like, he had them on the first Tesla, but then Tesla
because
changed
I wanted
stuff
them. No,
up.
No, those were ours.
Yeah.
And yeah, we made that because I wanted yeah. that yeah. on the car.
And then Tesla, like, changed the brake system on the car to where it's like, ah, oh, crap. Like, how do we, you know, there's some battles. And Tesla's, like, the kind of the lowest on the list, but we're going to have some really cool Tesla stuff once
and
we get
Kyla,
caught up.
When Kyla's like, hey, what if my frunk was a cooler?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, can we turn the frunk into a cooler?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that's how it gets made.
Yeah, you yes. roll up. You got the cooler in the frunk already.
Yeah.
Why not just make
it the whole thing?
Yeah, yeah, done deal.
Yeah.
Done
deal. I remember
stop dropping ideas.
Yeah.
I remember it was early on and somebody, I can't remember who, but somebody was like, you only want to make this because you want it on your car. And I'm like, yep. isn't that what we do? Isn't
you are
this
correct.
The whole thing? Like, if I don't want it, the customer then probably
someone else
want
probably
it.
Isn't going to want
yeah.
it. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, but yeah, we are 500 on the dot. See a couple of good comments here. That furry husky, we are getting the Yeti out to the track this year. It's I don't think it's ever been
so. 131, our favorite track. They got their spring opener coming up. You stop. You stop. It, without 131, we wouldn't be
I know,
a business.
I know.
Regardless of how long we wait in line.
Yep.
We're heading out there for their spring opener. I believe it's April 4th. I just added
Sixth.
It.
Yeah, sixth. Yep.
We're taking 2-liter Camaro. Run real fast. We're definitely taking a couple 1.4 liters,
yeah.
including Yeti. We've been laying low for probably way too long now, letting customers set the cruise quarter mile record.
Yep.
And so
now
we're
that just, he's got it.
And you know, we're just gonna go out there. I'm gonna dig some old slicks out of the warehouse. We're gonna put them on the car. I'm gonna pull the back seat out, and we're gonna go run world record quarter mile time in a Chevy Cruze. Maybe we'll let somebody random drive it because why not?
Yeah.
And it's going to be a good time. So if you're not doing anything next weekend or a couple weekends from now.
2 weekends.
Yeah, it's snowing today. It's snowing today. Yeah. We're drag racing in 2 weeks. So
and I cannot be more excited. I am so pumped.
Yeti, our cruise, we did a full build series on it. That car is probably one of my most favorite, reliable, powerful platform cars we've ever had in the fleet. It's a little ugly. That's why we named it Yeti, because it's white and ugly. But it's a good driving, good running car. And
Tim, I don't know what you did the shift points in that thing, but that the Yeti is money.
So
that's like a combo of like Bo driving it a lot and being like, hey Tim, like there's this one situation and like
I
can
good.
Address it.
Dial.
Tim and I have this really weird geek out about shift points
and
transmission files. We love our auto trans files. So you know, when I was driving it last winter for the full winter, you know, I worked with Tim because why not give him my feedback to help better his 1.0 PCM tunes? And, you know, you guys are probably running around on Yeti 1.0 shift points in their dial, just like Tyler said. So,
yeah.
Bo's great at doing throttle work on an auto trans.
Yeah, you know, we were just driving to lunch talking about that. You know, it's if you didn't know, your automatic transmission is 100%. Throttle position based.
Mm-hmm.
So you and what you're putting into that pedal position is going to determine what the transmission is doing.
Please
at any time.
Please preach on. Like all these customers sending me scans with like throttle positions between 80 and like 95%.
So when you get a good trans file built, you can really manipulate that car to do what you want it to do. And you know, That's extremely important for putting the power down and having a car that navigates the road as you want
and
it to.
And that
so.
You enjoy to drive.
Yeah.
And especially on the LTGs. I know we're running past five, but man, those A8s and the LTG, if you don't touch the trans file, it is...
Oh boy.
Night and day. So much different. So much
well, like, whenever I have, you know, because the newer ones, you have to unlock the TCM. You have to remove the TCM, yeah, send it out, have it unlocked, get it back, and then you have to read the file, which just like basically when you read it, it's like, oh, this is now unlocked, so I'm going to give you a stock file from whatever random year. You could have a 19 Camaro, and it's going to have a 16 Camaro file in it.
Yep.
But that trans tune is like half the tune.
Yeah.
It's half the tune. So, like, you guys, like, you got to have me do the TCM.
Absolutely.
I understand it's a whole bunch of credits. It's some wait time. Like, but it is so freaking worth it. Like, you got to have me do the trans. Absolutely.
You got to do the trans because me and, or Tim and I, pardon me, are, we're perfecting things down to the single mile an hour.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 1 mile an hour in the right place of the shift table will make a massive difference in driving. You know, even our tow lade, our Escalade that tows vehicles, Tim and I are like, well, let's, you know, like, how do you feel about this? Like, this downshifts at 4 miles an hour instead of five. Yeah. Like, you know, like, so
once every couple months, like I'll have like a list of things I need to like a list of situations I need to put the truck into to where
absolutely.
I can, like,
so like
it.
When I'm driving ZZP cars home, when I'm driving customer cars home, I take the highway home and then when I come in the morning, I take two lane back lane roads all the way in, go through town. Like it's, you know, put it in all the situations. We're super big on that for our install customers too, to make sure that, you know, and then we put it in a couple different hands too, because everybody has a little bit different foot. Everybody has a little bit different driving style. The last thing we want is for you to get your full build back.
And you don't like the way
it shifts. In this corner you take to work every day just pisses you off because it's in the wrong gear. So we try and touch on all that stuff.
But yeah, that's just another point that having these cars and driving these cars is what makes us do what we do and so successful at it. Because if we didn't have this fleet of cars and customer cars.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of tuners out there that try and tune these and don't have one.
Have never driven one.
I couldn't imagine. You know, we've preached last week. We've preached last week. When we look at a scan, you can literally feel the what the vehicle is doing, and that goes miles for how we can better your performance.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Hey, you got Zoom on, Mike. You guys go as late as you want.
That's true. Since we're after five, what do we got? What do you guys?
Hey, Ryan. Ryan, I see the GXP reference. Like, I'm assuming you have a Grand Prix GXP. We can definitely do that. Like, Bo's got a GXP Grand Prix.
I do.
You know, I've tuned a bunch of GXP Grand Prix. Like, either one of us can do it.
Yep. Yeah. HP Tuners would be great. I don't know if you're local. We can do it in person. Let us know. Seems to be in GXP guys love the in-person stuff.
Yeah. Turbo Cruise. Yes. When you hear us refer to Yeti, that is a first-gen cruise that has a Z04 and all of our full
check out the build series. It's probably one of the most documented vehicles we've ever had at ZZ Performance.
And it's got like 150,000 miles on the odometer, and we're just beating the hell out of that
original engine, original
basis.
Trans, off-the-shelf Z04 parts.
It's great.
It's a rocket.
It's a good car.
We're going bowling this weekend. ZZ Performance bowling.
Yeah. So sad I have to miss that.
You going to be there, Zimmer?
I will be there at the bowling. Going to check out a house. I bought a house today.
Oh, okay.
And I have not seen it. I have not even driven by.
It's like tuning a car.
I know.
So Tim does that with cars.
Literally bought a house for just about $300,000, and I have not even driven by.
It's pretty funny because you and I are similar. You're just on a whole different budget.
Level, yeah, yeah.
You buy houses you haven't seen. I buy cars I haven't seen. How many houses do you own right now?
I don't know.
It was what?
I went under contract to sell two last week. I listed another one today. I'll be selling several more this spring.
You're high teens.
No, more than that.
Oh, well. Than that. Yeah, all right. I'm outdated.
I sold
outdated.
10 last year. I'm still over 30 probably.
But. Where's the new house at?
It's on Millbrook Street. Kind of by Ghetto Meyer.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Kalamazoo Ave. Yeah. Everyone in Grand Rapids knows the worst Ghetto Meyer. It is the worst one by far.
28th and Kalamazoo Meyer.
Nice neighborhood, though. Corey drove by. He said it was a beautiful neighborhood.
I love Corey drove by.
That's like one of those areas that, like, this road is great, this road sucks, this road is great kind of neighborhoods.
Yeah, you go any south on Kalamazoo past Meyer, great. Yeah. And north.
Yeah, that's where it is. South, past the bridge, I think.
Okay.
Nice. Cool.
On east side of the road, maybe?
All right. Maybe.
I don't know. Yes. It's like I had to move quick. I had 3 minutes. I got this email sent. I had 3 minutes. I said yes. And so, wow. Yeah. Whew. Bought that house.
That furry husky, yes. Yeti is a stock bottom end. Generally, any of the mods that we do for the 1.4, you can do in a stock engine.
Yeah.
As long as it hasn't been run on 87 for a long time, yep. It might chip a piston. The 1.4 is extremely stout.
I would not be scared to make 300 wheel horsepower on a stock 120,000 mile 1.4.
We do.
It's just like, but we employed a person that had a low mileage 1.4, like a less than 40,000 mile 1.4 that blew it up because they were running 87 octane in it. Mm. So like, if you run 87 in a boosted car, it's kind of crazy.
Especially a low displacement.
If you even know who we are, that means you want performance out of your car. So that means you should be running the best fuel. Do not run, like, you know, I'm sorry, my information is so Michigan-based, but like, do not run Costco premium fuel. Like, if you want performance out of your car, stop buying gas by the cheapest to the penny fuel.
Yeah, but I saw a video on YouTube that said it's a scam and all gas is the same. And like, octane doesn't matter.
There are definitely matter. Like, see, just in case you guys don't know, there
octane and low octane tables are, you,
dude, it comes out of the same hose.
Yeah,
there are very few fuel suppliers.
It's not the same gas because we monitor it greatly.
Yeah.
There are very few fuel suppliers per state. However, every gas station place has their own additive package.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's what screws stuff up.
Yeah.
So it's like, like this, you know, whatever place supplies three different gas stations in your state, but like each gas station has their own additive package, and like Costco, for example, has a garbage additive patch.
So what's crazy is on ethanol side of things, which we monitor
in every car.
I've had a really hard time overcoming the fact that I live 2 miles from Carbon Green Bioenergy.
Yeah.
They are Michigan's, or maybe the Midwest, largest ethanol plant. Mm-hmm. It is a full-on ethanol plant.
Oh, it's huge.
I go there, they have a single pump, and they have the full selection, and you can literally see them making it right here while you're pumping your fuel. And I'm like, man, I'm getting the good stuff. This is sweet.
Straight from the source.
It's made right there. I'm pumping it. I brought my car to Dino Days. Tim said, you got shit fuel. And I said, there can't be no way.
There ain't no way.
So fast forward to 3 years, I work here. I'm still filling this fucking, I'm still filling these cars up. And every dang time, we're like, man, this ethanol kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So then I stop going to the ethanol plant. I just go to Meijer. Boom.
5%.
Killer ethanol.
7% more. Yeah.
So like, you know, and it's weird. It's weird the variances, you know, Speedway, Meijer. Like, mobile, I just drive home and I can throw a dart and it's all different. And why, I have no idea, but it is.
The one thing that is odd to me is car guys geek. I mean, spend hours on their oil. You know, what oil do I run?
True.
Royal Purple do I
Snake
do?
Oil.
AMSOIL. Oil.
So
like,
much arguing.
So much arguing. And then they just go to whatever gas station and they're like, yeah, this is the main thing that powers my vehicle, but I'm going to go to Loaf and Chug.
This is the center of everything.
I don't want to exaggerate, but like, I would say every other day or every third day, I'll be like, hey, like, your car is getting a ton of KR for your mod list. Like, your mod list is great.
Yep.
Great, great build. However, it seems like your fuel sucks.
Yep.
So try different stations and monitor your KR. Like, I'm sorry, if you have more than three mods on your car or less, If you have more than three mods on your car, you should have something monitoring KR, mm-hmm. like live in the car, an Aeroforce, you know, an Aeroforce gauge or something.
Yeah,
like if you're going to have one gauge,
whatever.
And try different stations and see which one performs better. I have turned, I've told multiple times customers with E85, like, hey, your E85 kind of seems terrible. And it's not just the ethanol percent. It's mm-hmm. the quality of the fuel.
Yeah.
Like they'll get it and the ethanol percent looks okay, but the car gets a bunch of KR and I'm like, hey.
It's whatever they're cutting.
Try, like run the thing empty, take it somewhat nice, run it empty and put premium 93 or 91, whatever you have. And let's see if you have less knock.
How many times have we seen, how many times have we seen a car knock less on 93 octane than ethanol?
Too many times to count. Yeah. So just because you have E85 doesn't mean that E85 is better than gasoline.
Shell is a definite yay, in my opinion. I'm just answering Nick's question.
Yeah.
Until this week, Henry.
Henry, talking about his Lexus.
He's talking
about
I don't know if that
applies to our LTG stuff and our DI stuff, but...
I would agree, but Henry had a situation where his car... His high pressure fuel pump would whine and make bad noises on Shell V-Power.
It was a Lexus, but still, it's a DI car.
Yeah. And he's doing some Googling, looking around the forums. Other guys are having the same issue. He switches off Shell 93 V-Power, and his high pressure fuel pump quieted down. So whatever additive they're using, the high pressure fuel pump doesn't like.
My brain is still broken from that.
I mean, those the tolerances in that. And high pressure fuel pumps are so tight.
Yes.
So it's got to be something that's just a little bit thicker.
Yeah.
But yeah, fuel, man, it's.
I've had good luck with Sunoco for 93. Mobile, Sunoco.
Typically good, yeah.
And
I wanted to grab, sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to grab that furry husky. The 10.9 and the Sonic.
I'm sorry. Good job.
The 10.9 in the Sonic was with nitrous. We had a 35 shot on the car from second gear on. Last year, when we went back out, we had done all the changes. We never really truly turned the car up, and we didn't turn on the nitrous the entire year. And I at Streetcar Takeover in Indy, I went 11.0 three times back to back to back with no nitrous. The car is dialed. It doesn't even really need nitrous right now, but we're out of turbo, so we'll see where we'll see where it goes this year. But we are well past five.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Appreciate everyone in the comments. Catch us next week. We have no idea what we'll be talking about as normal, but we'll be here. Four dudes rambling. So. catch you next time.
Peace. Have a good weekend.